My first question, Larry, is how do you remember Sandy?
I remember Sandy as, well, you know, when I studied with Sandy, he had already had the laryngectomy, had his larynx removed. But the thing I remember most vividly, I mean, was his energy. When he taught, he was like a 20-year-old. He was so incredibly passionate in the classroom and very clear and forceful and demanding and very direct and straight with us. I really only remember him as a teacher. I only spent time with him in the classroom. And
Sandy has been described as a especially talented man, but difficult man. Do you agree to that?
Well, I mean, he was a brilliant, brilliant teacher. So, but again, you know, I'm speaking only as a teacher, and he was. When you say difficult, I mean, he, like I said, he demanded everything from us. He was certainly for me, when I was at the Playhouse, he was like God. So, you know, I was very nervous around him, and you know, he had us call him Sandy, and that always felt like something illegal, you know. But I remember one time he did something that probably a lot of other teachers would get arrested for, but he got away with it because he was
What was
Sandy.
It that he did?
Well, there was a woman in my class who had come, this was in my first year, and she had come to the class already quite successful as a musical theater performer in California, and you know, we were doing the exercises, and she was quite affected, you know, pretending and faking and performing, you know, for us. And in the middle of an exercise, Sandy leaped out of his chair. He leaped up into the, you know, space where we worked, did the exercises. He took her, threw her onto the bed, leaped on top of her, and started spanking her. And with his, you know, voice, burping up air voice, was yelling, "Don't you ever do this shit again." Now, that certainly was something from that generation of teachers that, you know, maybe was quite common amongst those that, you know, again, that generation of teachers. Certainly it's not something, I don't think it's something most other teachers would do. But I'll tell you something, that young lady came in the next day and she dropped everything. And she was brilliant. She became the most wonderfully gifted. By the end of our 2 years, she was just a wonderful actress. But overnight, she dropped. She didn't dare, you know, do all that garbage that she was doing before.
She was not effective. I thought you said she was effective.
No, affected.
Affected.
Yeah, she was affected. Before this moment, she was, you know, very fake, very...
She indicating.
Yeah, indicating, pretending, you know, trying to be entertaining and... Mm-hmm. And Sandy wouldn't let her get away with it.
He made his point.
Yeah, but you know, the way he made it was, you know, by most people's standards, not an acceptable way for a teacher to you know, behave in class. But that's the kind of teacher he was. I mean, he was, as a teacher, I always felt that he was in it with us. You know, he was in it with us. He wasn't separate from us, watching us from, you know, an intellectual kind of judgmental place. He was in it with us, and he wanted us to he wanted us to grow, and he was willing to do anything he had to do to help us in that way.
Harold Walter said that Sandy's genius was that you could do a scene and it could immediately tell you what was wrong with it and harass you, but you might tremble for 3 or 4 days, but you knew he was right. This is an example of that.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Were you in awe of Sandy?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
In fear of him?
Well, I certainly didn't want to get spanked in an exercise, but yeah, I feared him. I was in awe of him. But I also, I had great trust for him, you know, and I trusted him.
Yeah. Did Sandy often show anger in class?
No, I wouldn't say often at all.
Mm-hmm, but he did at times.
He did when he was when it was. You know, when he was driven to it, you know.
What impact does Sandy have on you as a person?
Well, for me, I mean, my whole experience at the Playhouse, those 2 years, and being with Sandy and my other teachers, because I wasn't only with Sandy, I had other teachers as well, but you know, even though I had the other teachers, that really the most my strongest memories are my classes when Sandy was there, and fortunately he was there a lot when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the Playhouse. I think I was young. Now looking back, I was, you know, very unconscious. I was unconscious. You know what I mean? I was
no.
Well, I meant I really wasn't aware of who I was, what I was about, what meant anything to me. I didn't really know how to listen, you know, which is one of the greatest gifts that this work that Sandy did with us gives us, is that you learn how to not just listen with your ears, but to become available to life, you know, to smells and sights and what's going on around you and what's happening with other people, and so that you become more available to other people in your life, not so much focused on me, myself, and I. And that's, you know, that's part of the brilliance of this process.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can't help, when you go through this process, you can't help but become more available to life.
How old were you then?
Oh, God. Well, let's see. That was 20. I was my early 20s.
Did you go to college then?
Yeah, I did.
What college did you go to?
I went to a New York State University.
Where?
Up in Oneonta.
Okay.
Yeah, I graduated from there.
Were your parents against you being an actor?
No, my parents were the kind of parents that, as long as you're happy,
yeah.
As long as you're happy, they didn't care what I did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have much, did you do much acting before you came to the neighborhood?
Well, I did a little acting in college, and I was fortunate that I had a wonderful teacher in college, and not that it was related to Sandy's work, it was very different, but it was related.
Mm-hmm.
So that I had started a process that really prepared me for working with Sandy.
Yeah.
In many ways. So I was very lucky.
What impact do you think Sandy had or still has on the theater?
Well, you have to look at all the, you know, the great actors who've come out of his classes and their impact on generations of actors that have come after them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned Gregory Peck and Eli Wallach and Ann Jackson and Joanne Woodward and others, Lee Grant and Steve McQueen and all those great actors who. Robert Duvall, I have to remember Robert Duvall, who were the epitome of what Sandy was trying to teach us, which was to be absolutely honest, authentic, to be incredibly simple. And that's why, you know, you mentioned watching Frances' work, she makes it look so simple, and that's, for any artist, that's the ultimate goal, is to make, you know, is it's, but Sandy, I know that one thing I know is that Sandy wasn't interested in technique for technique's sake. He wanted to free us to be, to bring human life to the stage or to films or to whatever we're doing, so that, because it's not about, and I think Sandy would have said the same thing, it's not about people leaving saying that was a great Meisner actor. No, you know, it's about altering people's lives in the experience of watching you work, and that
he was so much different than Strasberg.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, many other people have said, and certainly I felt the same thing, that Sandy wasn't interested in us hanging around, you know, trying to, he didn't make us need him. I felt that when, you know, when I got out of the Playhouse, I didn't feel like I had to hang on to Sandy for support, that I was ready to, you know, he prepared me, and I mean, you know, in that film you talked about, I think Lee Grant says it, you know, that he was like a good father. He prepared us to go out into the world. You know?
What? You didn't have any disputes, as you said, with Sandy, right?
No, I didn't.
What made Sandy's teaching so good?
Well, I think, first of all, it has to be that he was such a brilliant artist himself. And, you know, all the exercises he developed came out of his own, what was important to him, his own values as an actor, first of all, and how to get at this thing called acting, that he, that, you know, the values that were crucial to him as he developed a way of working. And I think his love, it was clear in every moment in class that he loved what he loved being there with us. He loved teaching us. He loved this process. He loved acting. He loved building. I consider it like you're building something when you're working on a part. You're building something, and that's that very elusive, mysterious process that you have to go through to build this thing. It has to be tasty for you. It has to be appetizing, and I think Sandy just had that great love, and it rubbed. You know, the other thing is that he was on fire. When he was with us, he was on fire, and that certainly rubbed off on me. You know, I think if anything has kept me going through the years since being there, I know that fire was ignited in me by being with Sandy. And it's true of many of the group theater people I've been with, you know, like Phoebe Brand, and they had that fire, and certainly Sandy did, that is so rare. You don't see it very much. That incredible passion for this creative process.
I don't think you'll ever see a group theater again, either.
No. But, yeah.
Larry, what made you study with Sandy?
Well, I was, like I said, I didn't really know much about Sandy until I got to the Playhouse, and another teacher who I knew said, when I said I wanted to go to a professional training, he said, well, get to Sandy Meisner, and I trusted that person. I said, okay. And I went to the Playhouse, and that was it. But it wasn't until after I was at the Playhouse that I really started to understand who he was.
What was your initial reaction when you first met and spoke with Sandy? Do you remember that?
Well, I think the first time I saw Sandy there's not very much. I was sitting in class and he walked in, and it was one of great, you know, I was nervous. I was, you know, great anticipation of what is this going to be like? Passing him in the halls, that's really, I didn't talk with him casually. I didn't have a casual relationship with him. Mm-hmm. It was really all very much about the work in the classroom. And when I saw him in the halls, you know, he would come up sometimes and say hello and tell me that was nice work, and he enjoyed the scene and things like that. But we didn't really have lengthy conversations, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think you're better off. Tony Randall said, he said Sandy was his father symbol, but a cold father symbol. Mm. And all Tony wanted was for Sandy to say, Tony, you're a good actor. Mm. But Tony said he never would say that to Tony because he knew that was what Sandy, what Tony wanted. Yeah. And Tony said that he could never act in front of Sandy. Mm. Never could he act in front. And he always called him Mr. Meisner. Mm-hmm. You called him Sandy.
Yeah, I called him Sandy.
He wanted that,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he did.
I wanted that. Some people have said, Larry, that Sandy was a bitter, lonely, you may not be able to answer this. If you can't answer them, don't. Yeah. Was a bitter, lonely, and unhappy man, and over the years became more bitter. Did you see any signs of that?
I certainly never saw it at school. I don't know. Maybe.
Here is something that you might be able to answer better than a lot of people, because I was told that Sandy loved teaching because of the adoration he got as a teacher. He never got that adoration as an actor, but he loved the adoration he got from as a teacher. Do you find truth in that?
About Sandy?
Yeah. The adoration from students?
Well, certainly he received that, but that's, you know, that's a very psychological issue that was not in my domain, so I really can't speak to that.
Okay, he also said the same thing about Strasberg, you know, that he loved the adoration he got. Yeah. Eli spoke about that a lot, and Eli also said how ruinous Strasberg could be, but Sandy rejected all those things that Strasberg did. Do you remember, I'm coming to the end, I'm cutting this really short, do you remember any stories or anecdotes about you and Sandy, or something that happened at the class that's funny or sad or something like that?
Yeah, I have a funny story. it's about me and Sandy. It was funny at the time too, but I had just done an exercise, and this was in my first year, and I did an exercise, and after the exercise is over, you know, we always wait for everybody's hanging on Sandy's, what is Sandy going to say? And Sandy says, that was very, very good to me. He said, that was a very, very good exercise, Larry. And then I sat down in my seat, and Sandy's talking, and suddenly he says something, and my hand shoots up, and I blurt out this answer, and everybody just turns, the whole class turns to me, and I realized very quickly that what I had said, they already had talked about, and I had just, you know, and so Sandy looks over at the class and said to them, you know, in his voice, he said, he's still reading his reviews.
That's funny.
And it was absolutely true. You know, I was so excited that he approved of my exercise, you know, loved my exercise, and I didn't hear a word they were saying. I was, yeah, so.
That's a funny story. Yeah. If there is something that Sandy left you with, one thing, what is it?
Well, I have to say the same thing I said before, which is that I, through all the, you know, this whole, all these years, I absolutely have this fire in me. I love this process. I love this, the whole process of, you know, this way of working on a part, the difficulty of it, even though it's at times tremendously painful, frustrating, difficult, and ultimately the most joyous thing I know. And that has not gone away ever. It has never left me, not for a moment. And that's, I think, I know that's the thing I got from Sandy. He was the living example of that for me, and I was very fortunate it rubbed off on me. You know?
If there's one thing that you could have changed about Sandy, what would that be?
Well, again, because I was not a chum, you know, a pal, there's nothing I would change.
Okay.
Nothing.
My last question is,
I wish I had more to give you, you know.
You've given me a lot.
Oh, good.
You've given me a lot. Did you? Am I doing this okay for you?
Oh yeah. No, I just, you know. No. I know you're. Go ahead.
If there's something, Larry, that you might add to this interview, that would help me understand Sandy as a brother better than I do, more information. You may not be able to answer the question. Do you ever think, Larry, when you were saying he was a marvelous teacher, what was he like as a human being?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course I would like to have known him outside of classes, but was very much too, at that time in my life, was too, like you said, too in awe of him,
yeah.
Too nervous to even think about how that might happen, you know, and, yeah, so, yeah. And I, like I said to you before, I heard lots of people have all kinds of stories about Sandy, about him, as you said, the bitter and the, but I never wanted to know it then, and I'm still not interested in it, no. You know.
The interview is basically over,
oh, okay.
But obviously you're tremendously affected by Sanford Meisner and the approach, because
yeah.
It led you into this whole life.
It's my whole adult life has
yeah.
been... has come out of working with Sandy. Everything, my whole adult life, really, truly.
And I say this honestly, I have no reason to compliment you. I mean, we don't really know each other, but I respect what you're doing, and I think you're probably an excellent teacher.
Oh, well.
I think you are.
Thanks.
You know, I have an insight, and I think you're a very good teacher. And if you weren't 2.5 hours from New York, I would ask you for a scholarship and come.
Oh.
No, I'm only kidding about that. But